Okay, Hevra, what I want to do with you today are the two last topics related to Bishul. When I say related to Bishul, you could be a distant cousin and still be related. And then we'll move on, Emir Hashem, tomorrow to the Dina of Shekhiah, and then Hachazara, and then Hatmana. So hopefully by Wednesday, we'll be done. If all goes well, we should be done by Wednesday, or not to have shir on Wednesday even, and then we'll have a shir on, then we'll have a bechina on Thursday. If you remember, the Gemara tells us that kosher loba bechamin lifnei haShabbos, madichin also bechamin, kosher loba bechamin lifnei haShabbos, shon also bechamin for Shabbos. If it was bishul before Shabbos, so then ain bishul after bishul. If it was not done with bishul, so hadocha is okay. Apparently, that's not bishul. But koyasa isbenin dag maliach, these things we assume is a problem because the way we use the term, we call that kalei habishul. That is standard normative Judaism that we use the term kalei habishul, which means that the chash is some sort of chash of bishul. By koyasa isbin and by dag maliach, what we are saying is that it cooks easier, and therefore there is a concern of bishul. And this idea that the sugyas about bishul is found in Rashi on Daf Lamed Tes, it's found in the Rambam, it's found in almost all the Rishonim, that the concern is out bishul. However, the Sefer HaParadeis, which is a Sefer that comes from Beis Midrash Shel Rashi, the Sefer HaParadeis says, you know what, maybe there's a difference between Dag Maliach and Kol Yisa Isbinin. Dag Maliach is called Tuna, Tunina, and Kol Yisa Isbinin is some other sort of fish. One of them is like super salty, the other one isn't. And the Sefer HaParadeis kind of says something that maybe on the super salty one, it's usser because it's not ne'echal without this rinsing. And he kind of just throws it out there as a discussion, how salty is the salties? Comes along the Prima Godim in the Eshal Avrom in Sifkotin Tesvov. And the Prima Gundam says that he knows Pshat in the Sefer HaParadeis. See, you read the Sefer HaParadeis, again, Eschata'ai Ani Mazkir, I did not look at the Sefer HaParadeis Bifnim, I looked at the citation of the Sefer HaParadeis in the Beis Yosef, but if you read the Sefer HaParadeis, it's not really saying very much, not clear what it's saying. Comes on the Prima Gundam, he says, I'll tell you what the Sefer HaParadeis is saying. Sefer HaParadeis is saying that if you have a really salty thing, so the issue is going to be makabe patish. The lashon of the Mishnah, kuf memhe, is hadochoson zuhi gemar melachton. Gemar melacha means makabe patish. Comes the prima godim, and he times this as something is super salty, there is going to be an iser of makabe patish. And kevan shehiganu lekach, he writes at the end of that piece in the Eshal Avram Sifkot and Tes above, kevan shehiganu lekach, we could say it's going to be usser even ayide cold water. Because if the din is that it's a super salty fish, so then when I rinse it off, I am making it edible. And apparently when I make something edible, that is tantamount to makeh v'patish. So it should not matter if I make it edible by using hot water or if I make it edible by using cold water. If you are saying hadachasan zuhi gemar melachton, and therefore it's a din of makeh v'patish, so memela, it is going to be usser b'cold water. That's what the Prima Gadim paskins. Now, this is a big chiddush, but just to understand the chiddush properly, it's true only on something that's mamish eino ne'echal. It's true only on something that you cannot eat it unless you rinse it off. In Yerideya Kuf Yud Gimel, with respect to Bishulei Nachrim, so the din is that there's no Bishulei Nachrim on Dover that's Nechal Kamoshu Chai. And the Rishayne Machron and Poskim discuss, what about Dover Shenecha Ayidei Hadachak? If it's edible, but albeit with difficulty, is that considered edible? The Pashtus over here is that Necha Ayidei Hadachak would not be Makeb Patish. The Chiddush of the Prima Godin is that there is make bepatish by oichlim only if it was mamish inedible beforehand. Because the din of make bepatish, just like when they have a kli, it's that final bang, it finishes it off. So here also, when I finish off the food, that is called make bepatish. And because it's called make bepatish, only if the food was non-edible at all. This shita is not unique to the Prima Godim. In the Levush and Se'if Dalet, and in the Chaya Adam in Klal Chaf, in the Chaya Adam in the Nishmas Adam in Klal Chaf Din Zayin, they all assume that there is Makeh Bepatish by Ochlan. The Mishneh Brura in the Bir Halacha in Se'if Dalet totally upschlugs this shita of Makeh Bepatish by Oichlim. The Mishneh Brura quotes all of the shitos. He says that all the Rishonim, Rashi and the Rambam, they say that the din is bishul. The Pashtus in the Gemara is that the din is bishul, because the Gemara Tzushtels, the halacha of Hadachasim Zihi Gemar Malachton, by the Dag Maliach and Koyasa Ispanin, the Gemara Tzushtels it to Gilgal Chayiv Chatos, which is when I put an egg next to the samovar, right, next to the water heater. The Pashtus is it's all about Bishul, and the Bir Halacha Tain is that Shavuye Uchla, the Gemara tells me in Kuf Nun Hey, is not Usser. Making something into food is not Usser. The Prima Godin quoted a Sefer Paradise. The Bir Halacha says there is Yesh Bazar Richus Devarim Bebeir Sefer HaParadeis Ein Kan Mekomo. I find this line to be so frustrating. He says, I have a different shot in the Sefer HaParadeis, but this isn't the place to explain it. Where else is the place to explain it? Where else? And I don't know what he meant as another pshat in the Sefer HaParadeis. Versteich nicht. Right? So the Bir Halacha says that in his opinion, since this idea of Makiv Patish by Ochlim is a Dover Chodosh, Shelo Nimtza B'Poskim, V'Adarabba Yesh Kama Stiros L'Zeh, Kimosha Kasavnu, Alkein Ein L'Hachmir B'Hadachas Tzonein B'Shum Gavna. The Bir Halacha's Maskana is, do not be machmir with cold water at all. Basically, Makiv Patish by Ochlim is a Dover Chodosh. No one holds of it Klal V'Ikar. That's the Bir Halacha's Maskana. Now, the Nishmas Adam, in his essay on this, makes an interesting point, which I think is worthy thinking about. If you remember, we saw this Yerushalmi. We had a few different Be'urim in the Yerushalmi, but the Yerushalmi had a lashon that there's only Bishul Kosha Ha'esh Mahalech Tachtov. Right? The only thing that's Bishul Min HaTorah is when there's fire underneath the, sounds like it's only Bishul Min HaTorah and Kli Rishon Al-Gabei Ha'esh. If that's the case, how can the Gemara say that Hadachasin Zuhi Gemar Malachdon, that you're in violation of a Din Doraisa? It's Mavur in the Gemara, there's a Din Doraisa. How could there be a Din Doraisa on the Dag Malach and Koyasa Ispinin? It's Eroi. It's not Eish Mahalach Tachtov. How could it be a problem? Says the Nishmas Adam Al Karchacha, according to the Yerushalmi, the Isser has to be based on Makiv HaPatash. That's what the Nishmas Adam time is. So it's a little bit funny. You know, the Nishmas Adam is a major league posek. The Prima Gadim, these are major league poskim. The Bir Halacha is like Reis HaPleitzis to say that these shitas are entirely upslugged. One could say the Nishmas Adam is bringing a raya from a Yerushalmi. Well, who cares? Right? The Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi and a Hanami. That certainly is possible. Right? That's what the Ran suggests about that Yerushalmi, that it's like not mikubal at all a halacha. But nonetheless, again, the Achreinim, the Poskim, all completely dismiss Makim B'Patrish by Ochlim. But nonetheless, one could argue that we should not dismiss it that quickly. We should not dismiss it that quickly, perhaps. Now, of course, according to Nishmas Adam, that the din is out to Makim B'Patrish, right, the way it appears in Talmud Bavli is still shver, because the Bavli is equating Gilgil Chayiv Chatos with Kol Yisa Ispin, and the same ha'ara that the Bir Halacha had, right, for the Yerushalmi, I guess what, the Yerushalmi cannot be comparing Gilgal. Gilgal is a din in Bishol, and this is not a din in Bishol, this is in Makir Patish, that's in Nishmas Adam. Now, what are the cases of Makir Patish by Eichlum that come up?
Rebbe, are there any contraindications in the Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi, in fact, did understand the Mishnah as referring to Bishol?
As referring to Bishol Makir Patish.
As referring to Bishol as opposed to Makim B'Patish, meaning the Yerushalmi doesn't discuss that part of the Mishnah at all?
The Yerushalmi, again, I don't think the Yerushalmi has that line about Gilgal Chayiv Chatos, about Gilgal Mai Gilgal Chayiv Chatos, and then making the connection to Dag Maliach. I don't think that appears in the Yerushalmi.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this issue, remember, if there is Makim B'Patish by Ochlim, it's true only on something that was inedible mamish beforehand. The Achronim discussed two cases that we could talk about. Is it mutter to make seltzer on Shabbos? And is it mutter to make jello on Shabbos? Now, obviously, when I talked about making seltzer, it's much more popular now. There's this thing called Soda Stream that people are into. So you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Are you permitted to do Soda Stream on Shabbos? So some of the Achronim say it's Makir B'Patish by Ochlim. Others say, even if you're Machmir, Makir B'Patish by Ochlim, that's when something was not ro'oy at all beforehand. The water, the petel, whatever you're using, was ro'oy beforehand. You're just making it more ro'oy, so that should not be subject to the dinim of Makir. Makim Patish. Again, I don't know if I've discussed this over here. My preference is to quote the tshuva of Rav Yitzchak Shmelkis, who says that you can't make seltzer on Shabbos because it's like electricity. Or to say it more precisely, don't use electricity on Shabbos because it's like making seltzer. Right? So Rav Yitzchak Shmelkis holds that if you're borei yabriya chadasha, if you take something mi maves l'chayim, right, so now it's like bubbling around. It looks like it's alive. So that's going to be a problem. Again, whether that sheet is mekubal by electricity or not, the Achronim all seem to say that it's mutter to make seltzer on Shabbos. Jello on Shabbos. So there's a tshuva in the Shevet HaLevi where he says that making jello on Shabbos is mutter even if you're chayshish for Makir B'Patish by Ochlim. Because the Gemara on Ayin Dalet Amid Beis gives us a whole discussion about how many, it's like a contest. How many melachas can you violate on Shabbos with doing one activity? So the Gemara says, if I make a basket, I violate like 11 melachas. And when we recognize, when we calculate what those 11 melachas are, we don't have makim, excuse me, not when I make an oven, when I make a, not a basket, I make a stove. So you're chayiv for like 11 malachos. And the Gemara counts the 11 malachos. And Makir B'Patish, what the Rishonim, I have to be precise. The Gemara just says you're chayiv 11. The Rishonim say, Rashi says, what are the 11? And in Rashi's list, he does not include Makir B'Patish. Rashi asks on himself, why am I not including Makir B'Patish when I make the oven? Because an oven was that you take earthenware clay, you put it in the to make an oven. I put it in a larger oven to heat it up. No? So you're in violation of Bishul. How come it's not Makim Patish? Zakh Rashi Kevan Shanasa Me Elov. It's not Makim Patish. Rashi has a yisur that Makim Patish involves that you're doing something, but often activi. If you're doing it in a more passive sort of way, that is not Makim Patish. Based on this, the Shevet Halevi says he thinks making jello is not Makim Patish. Even if you're choshish Makim Patish by Ochlim, making jello is not Makim Patish, because just like Rashi says, putting something in the oven is Nasame Elov, but who hadin, if you put something in the refrigerator, it's Nasa Me'elov.
Putting something in the oven? I thought Rabbi was talking about making the oven itself.
I thought the case over there is I'm making like some sort of earthenware clay by putting it in the oven. And the case is, I think I'm making like a small oven, putting it into a larger oven. I'm making an earthenware thing, so I'm in violation of Bishul. I'm not in violation of Makim Patish. Rashi says there's no Makim Patish because it's Nasame Elov. I brought my Shulchan Aruch today. I didn't bring my Gemara to Shia, or else I'd look in the Rashi. The point is that we consider that Makim Patish. But we assume that Makim Patish by Ochlam is permitted, etc. Why would Makim Patish by Ochlam? What's the Svara, by the way? Why should it be permitted? So, Hanir Lofi and the Estaiti, that when you go through the Melachos, there are different orders. You have the Sidura de Pas, you have Sidura de Orels, etc. You have many different orders of Melachos. Some relate to making food, some relate to animals and tanning hides, etc. Some will relate to weaving curtains. There are different categories of the malachos. Makim Patish is l'cha'ora part of the category of making kalim, which is a different category. It's like part of the bonas, soser, the seder of kalim. And because it's a different category entirely, maybe that's why it does not apply by Ochlim. Although, Das Gufa, we have to figure out whether the categories are exclusive. We have to figure out whether something that happens to food, those malachos, are they shayach only by food? And malachos elsewhere, are they not shayach to food? Right? Would I assume Gidulei Karka, for example, is a big topic in the Malachos. Which Malachos only apply to Gidulei Karka? Do I carry over and say that just like in Ma'ame Elo B'Gidulei Karka, do I say in Bona Elo B'Gidulei Karka? That would be ludicrous, no? No one says that. But at the same time, we do have to try to figure out the overlap between the different categories of Malachos. I think that's part of the issue over here by Makim Patish by Ochlam. Okay, let's talk about one
is
other.
Is there Oreg by spaghetti?
Is there Oreg by spaghetti? The Pashtus is that no. The Pashtus is no. Also because it's mamish made. If I'm going to weave some sort of spaghetti basket, I'm going to eat it right after, and it is arai darai. It's like completely temporary. So no, I think we can safely say there's no Oreg on spaghetti, although I'd be curious as to what exactly your dinner table looks like, but that's a different conversation. Okay, I want to talk about one other.
A sort of related question. They have the, I've seen at like fancy luncheons or whatever, they have those watermelons that they carve into a fruit basket or something.
Right, so that's a shayla about, if I carve a watermelon, so if I'm making osios into the carving, so then that's some sort of malach of kosev. If I just make it into balls, right? That's what you're talking about. Like I have a watermelon baller.
You like scoop out a lot of the inside and then they shape it and it has like a handle and it looks like a whole pretty basket and they put other fruit inside it also.
So is that going to be usher to do on Shabbos? Outs what? Outs makeh b'patish?
You're like making the watermelon into a kli. What? You're making the watermelon into a kli.
I'm making the watermelon into a kli. Again, it's entirely like a disposable thing. I think no one keeps the watermelon rind afterwards. I don't know if that's an issue. I'm making the balls, we assume, like simple shapes. If they're not attached to anything, it's not malach of kosev. Just making circles, there's no malach of kosev. It takes a lot of time to do it, so I don't know if you want to spend your Shabbos doing it, but I want to talk about one other topic that is in Shin Yud Ches If Yud Ches, which is the topic of Hagasa. Again, it's a related topic to Bishul. What's the status of stirring food? Now, when I talk about stirring, there are two separate sugyas or two separate questions that come up. One is, are we talking about food that's not fully cooked? Or are we talking about food that is fully cooked? The other issue is, are we talking about actual stirring, b'chisha, where I take a spoon and I kind of move it around? Or am I talking about ladling out, which might be different than b'chisha, right? I'm not mamish stirring. I'm just taking the content of the food out of the pot. There are two sugyas in Shas that relate to Hagosa. Beitza daf lamed dalet. Echad hevi esha'or. Echad hevi etza'etzim. Echad hevi esha'kedera. Ve'echad, it sounds like the Pesach Seder. Ve'echad tam. Ve'echad meges. Kulam chayovim. Right? I bring the food, I bring the pot, you bring the fire, he brings the wood, he stirs it, we're all chayiv. That's one sugya megas. But again, it's not clear from the Gemara. Is that talking about megas before the food is fully cooked or not? Unclear. Shabbos Yud Ches. There is a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about Shevisas Kelim. Beis Shammai says that just like you can't do any malacha, you and your children and your Eved and your Amma and your Behema, your Kelim also can't do malacha. And the Gemara has like a bazillion questions on Beis Shammai. And the Gemara answers that according to Beis Shammai, all of them are going to be okay. I'm allowed to light a candle according to Beis Shammai. We're not worried about that. Light a candle, my Erev Shabbos, etc. The Gemara says all of these things, according to Beis Shammai, is going to be okay. However, there are some cases where the pashtus should be that according to Beis Hillel, it's going to be okay. For example, leaving a pot on the fire from Erev Shabbos. If you hold like Beis Hillel, it should not be a problem at all, because Beis Hillel does not hold the Shvisas Kalim. So any activity that you start Erev Shabbos should be mutter. Frek the Gemara and Daf Yud Ches, how come according to Beis Hillel, it's usher? That's going to be the next year about Shehiya. The Gemara answers, Shema Yechata B'Gecholim. We're worried that you will stoke the coals. So then the Gemara asks, oh, you worry about Shema Yechata. So what about a Semer Liyora? We should also be worried about Shema Yechata. If I put the dye into a pot from Erev Shabbos, so that base Hillel says is okay. Why is it okay? Shouldn't you be worried about Shema Yechata? So the Gemara answer is, well, there's no Shema Yechata because it's Akura. Because the pot with the dye is not on the fire. I frek the Gemara v'necho Shema Yages. Maybe you'll stir it. Zok the Gemara ba'akura v'tucha. That means as follows. Akur v'tucha is, it's not on the fire, and you put some dough on top of the pot to ensure that you don't have easy access to the pot, and that's why you cannot be megas. So it's mavur in that Gemara that there is a din of megas even though it is not on the fire. And I need some sort of tucha to solve that din of Magus. Now, the pashtus would be if I take this Gemara seriously, that there's going to be an Isser of Magus, even when the food is not on the fire. But nonetheless, the Balei HaTosfos there in Yud Ches say, don't get so excited about that Gemara. That Gemara is about dying, rather than being about cooking. The difference between dying and cooking is probably that when I dye something, the chash of magus is very real because there's a difference between a lighter red and a darker red. And every moment, every additional stir is going to be more of an issue. Meaning to say, we could limit that Gemara to say that in a case when it's that there is a din of magus, even though it's not on the fire, maybe that's talking about only dyes, because a dye, every maisa that I do makes it a stronger color. That lecha'ora would be more mistaber within the Rambam's approach, because the Rambam holds that ha'osa ein hatseva b'shabbos is chayiv mishum tzoveya. According to the Rambam, not only is the malach of dyeing when I take dye and I put it like to make my tcheles or something, I don't wear tcheles, but you understand what I'm saying, but the malach of dyeing is even if it's osa ein hatseva. That's, and this would be more mistaber according to the Rambam. Nonetheless, although the Gemara in Shabbos might be talking about only dyes, but the Gemara in Beitza is talking about even food. But the Gemara in Beitza might be talking about magus on food when it's mamish on the fire. It's hard to put together a scenario from Shas that there's a din of magus on food when the food is not on the fire. Because the Gemara, you want to prove from the Gemara in Beitza that it's about food? Yeah, but that's on the fire. The Gemara in Shabbos is not about food, even though it's not on the fire. So it'd be hard to put it together and to create an Isser. Nonetheless, among the Rishonim, we do see that some create a problem. The Chidushei HaRashba on Daf Yud Ches becomes Rosh HaMedavrim in this sugya. When the Gemara says Nech Hashema Megis, fret the Rashba question, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis tells me the Ha'ilfis Vakedera Sharviron Mirutachim, that if you have a Kli Rishon and you took it off the fire, so don't put Taflin into that Kli Rishon Shalo Agabe Ha'ish. But apparently I'm allowed to take food out of my Kli Rishon Shalo Agabe Ha'ish. Frek the Rashba, how am I allowed to take food out of my Kli Rishon Shalo Agabe Ha'esh? Maybe I'll be Magus, and maybe I should be Choshesh that you are Magus. In other words, there are two ways of asking the Kasha. One way of asking the Kasha is that fundamentally removing the food is the equivalent of Hagasa. The other way of saying it is that removing the food is not the equivalent of Hagasa, but there's a concern that you will actually do the bechisha, that you will actually stir it and stir it and stir it and stir it, going down to the bottom, etc. So the Rashba asks this kasha. And the Rashba gives two answers. How come there's no chash of Duma Magus? In other words, he's moving from Tzoveyaf, he's asking about food. Why is there no chash of Shema Magus by the food? One answer that the Rashba gives is that we're talking about the food is already Higia L'maycho Ben Jerusoi. And the Rashba L'shitaso holds that Ein Bishol Achar Bishol by food that's Higia L'maycho Ben Jerusoi. That's one answer that the Rashba gives. The other answer that the Rashba gives is that the only real din of Hagasa is the first stirring. When you make macaroni or spaghetti, right? We spoke about spaghetti and the shayla of arigo by spaghetti. But when I make spaghetti, the first time I stir it, that accomplishes a great deal. It could be that the only isser of hagosa is the first time you're going to stir the pot, And because that's like really a chash rachok, so therefore I don't have that concern. But what should emerge from that Rashba is that according to the Teretz, that there is only a din of Hagasa on the first stir, but the Isser of Hagasa would apply even when the food is fully cooked. According to the second Teretz of the Rashba, the Isser of Hagasa is only before the food is Higiel Amaychol Ben Drusai. Once it's Higiel Amaychol Ben Drusai, it's not a problem. But according to the other Teretz in the Rashba, the din of Hagasa is even after the food reached the degree of cooking that the halacha would consider bishul. Still, there's a din of Hagasa, but we have a technical way out. We're only worried about the first stirring.
I mean, you might stir it once on Shabbos.
The issue is that we know the original stirring happened already, and we're not worried. It's such a chash rachel that you're going to take a kedera mirutachat off of the ish and put it down, and the kedera was never stirred at all. Such a chash rachel we don't have. That's what the Rashba is saying. Since the din of Hagasa is only on the Hagasa Rishona, right, that's what the Rashba says. Now, what emerges is that according to
one thing, before Shabbos, like people make their cholent and it hasn't been stirred once.
It's exceedingly unlikely. It doesn't happen. Look at the way you make cholent. Right? Friday, Erev Shabbos is coming. Right, we're past the midway point of the week. Look at the way you make cholent. You're going to stir it one time beforehand. It's kim'at lo shayach.
I've watched my wife make cholent. She doesn't stir it before Erev Shabbos. She stirs it piles it in Erev Shabbos.
I find that unusual. I think most people do a little bit of stirring. There's like a potato that's sticking outside the cholent. You're going to move it in. The Kitzur Ma'aseh, the Rashba assumes that's lo shchiach. But this opinion that there is Hagasa even after the food is cooked or halachically cooked, this opinion is well known as a shita of the Kolbo. The Kolbo says, the Beis Yosef quotes in Rishon and Gimel, that even after the food is mevushal kol tzarko, there can still be a din of Hagasa. And the Pashto says that the Rambam answers as well. The Rambam Perek Gimel Halacha Tes, the Rambam says that not only is Hagasa a problem, but even lahachnis hamagreifa lekedera is a problem, because it's mitzarchei habishul, mipnei shemegisba, entering the spoon to take out the food is considered hagasa, and it is tzarchei habishul, v'nimtza kimavashal b'shabbos. The Rambam does not say anything about that the food is not fully cooked. You get an impression that for the Rambam, even though the food is fully cooked, there is still going to be a din of hagasa. And not only that, the Rambam is super machmir, where he says that even hachnasas hamagrefa is considered a problem. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, and the Ravid says, my dear Rambam, hachnasas hamagrefa is not at all the same as Hagasa. The Ramach disagrees with the Rambam, and the Rambam, where again, there's a machlokas left on Mishnah Magid Mishnah about whether the Ramach is disagreeing with the Rambam or saying the same as the Rambam. The Ramach says it's inconceivable that when food is mevushal kol tzarko, there should be a problem. That's what the Ramach writes. The Rambam also was talking about a kedera, which is al gabei ha'esh. Right? So the Rambam says, don't use a magrefa, don't use a spoon to be motzi the food from a kedera. Al gabei ha'esh, the Pashtus, the Rambam is saying, even though it's mevushal kol tzarko, it's going to be a problem to remove it, but only then when it's al gabei ha'esh. However, there are some who want to understand that the Rambam is talking about even shelo al gabei ha'esh. Kesef Mishnah writes, Masha Kosef Rabbeinu, v'hi al gabei ha'esh, lav davka. Right now, that would lead, if you're looking for like chumra al gabei chumra, so we have hotza'ah from a kedera, mevushal kol tzarko, shelo al gabei ha'esh. And it could be all of this is going to be usher. Now, in Rav Rimon's Sefer, pages 294 through 298, he gives a really nice presentation of the issues here. But basically, the only reason to assume that it should be usher when it's shelo agabe ha'esh and it's mevushal kol tzarko, it can't be that it's a real din bishul. The only thing it can be is that you're adding a certain quality to the food. It's holadat pan chadash. You're adding a new quality to the food, and that's why it's a problem. Some say that the food is already done, but it becomes a little bit softer al yedei the stirring. That's what they call from the Chazon Ish. But for pashtus, it's not real cooking at all. If you understand that the din of hagasa is only when it's on the fire, so then the concern is that maybe you're bringing something closer to the fire and cooking it. And if that's the case, I could say that hotza'ah b'magrefa is also like cooking, because when we spoke about this with the urns, when you have a smaller quantity in the pot, whatever remains in the pot will cook quicker. So it could be that that's real bishul, because I'm being mekariv the remaining food to the eish, because there's less food in there. It could be also that when it's agabe ha'esh, there's real bishul. Rav Moshe Feinstein says it like this in his tshuva, that it's real bishul because even though you think the food is fully cooked, but there's always going to be tiny little bits of food here, there, and yonder, which might not be fully cooked. No, you take a bite in the chalon sometimes and you're like, this meat tastes raw. And the person sitting next to you says, Gevaldik, right? Best meat ever. Right? That could happen sometimes. So Moshe says that the din of Hagosa is out the cooking element. The cooking element, not insofar as you are making a lower quantity in the pot, making it closer to the eish, but maybe certain parts of the food would not be cooked until you stir it. If that's the case, it could be usher, even if it's shelo agabe ha'esh. So basically, what I'm presenting are a number of spekos in the din of Hagosa. In Shulchan Aruch Shin Yud Ches Seif Yud Ches, the Mechaber says that if you have a kedera that's shelo agabe ha'ar, you remove it from the fire, and it's not fully cooked, hotza'a b'kaf is usser, meaning he's understanding the mechaber is like a lechem, he's like a kesef mishnah Jew, which makes perfect sense, that it's a pat shelo agabe ha'esh, that's his understanding of the Rambam, and hotza'a b'magrefa is going to be usser because it's not fully cooked yet. Meaning, that sounds like remoisha, that there are certain parts of the food that might get more cooked, but it's also, even though you're not magus, even though it is just hotzav and magrefa, which is a little bit hard to understand.
But that's if it's not fully cooked, no?
If it's not fully cooked, hotzav and magrefa is going to be usser, nachon. But it's hard to understand that it's usser because you just lower the volume, you lower the quantity of the food in the pot because it's not on the fire anymore. So what additional cooking am I doing when I lower the quantity? If it's on the fire, I could say it's cooking quicker. Now that's not on the fire, I understand why stirring might add a new dimension to the food, but hotza'a should not add a new dimension. Yoni, you had a comment?
Yeah, what's the definition of not fully cooked?
So again, according to the Rashba, not fully cooked means logil meichel ben shusay. For the Rambam, not fully cooked means it's not yet mevushal kol tzarko. For the Rambam, mevushal kol tzarko, even if it's mitzdamik v'yafalo, is still considered fully cooked. By dye, the Mechaber writes, it's going to be usser, even though it is fully cooked. The Ramah says that lechatchila yesh li zoher af b'kedera, meaning, according to the Mechaber, when the pot is fully cooked, it's not a problem. The Ramah says, lechatchila yesh li zoher af b'kedera, and the Maharivayal, who is probably the source of the Ramah, says that yesh lahachmir, when it is fully cooked, when it's not on the fire, even lahotzi b'magrefa, even to take a spoon and take the food out. Which would mean, says the Mishnah Berurah Os Kuf Yud Zayin, that the only eitzah you have to get food out of a pot is you take the whole pot and you do the royal dump, the whole pot, and you put it into the next pot, because you can't even stir it out. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Lo Nehigin Lahachmir Bazeh. The minig is, right, he says, according to this Marivayo, Yahapoch HaKadera LaKaira, V'lo Yotzi B'kach, but the Achronim say, Lo Nehigin Lahachmir Bazeh, HaIkar, that is what we wrote earlier, if it's Mavushal called circle, even Hagosa is going to be Mutter. So we're Machmir L'maisa on food that is Mavushal called circle, not to do real Hagosa. But Hotza'a B'kach is not really Hagosa. Hotza b'kaf l'cha'ora is a gezera atu hagasa, or hotza b'kaf is usher because it lowers the volume. So that we're not going to be machmir when it's fully cooked and it's shalo al gabe ha'esh. That is what emerges from the Mishnah Berurah's understanding of the halacha. Again, against the Ramah. The Ramah says you should really be machmir even on hotza b'kaf. The Mechaber talks about a pot that's not on the fire. What would be a pot that is on the fire and is mevushal kol tzarko? Am I allowed to be motzi from such a pot? So that's a machlokes beis Yosef and El Yerabah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes in Kuf Yud Gimel, Sivkot Kuf Yud Gimel, that the Mechaber is talking about only with shelo agabe ha'esh. Were it to be al gabe ha'esh, so then the El Yerabah says you should aser it. The beis Yosef says if it's fully cooked, al gabe ha'esh, it's mutter lachutzi b'kaf, but hagasa, mamish stirring, is going to be a problem according to the Beis Yosef. The Avni Nezer in the Tshuva quotes from Rabbi Yehoshua of Kutna that the din of hagasa is only true on food that you have like barley, you have beans, we'll call it chalent, and some of it might be cooked, some might not be cooked. Right, it's not going to be immediately diffused. It's somewhat uneven. But if I have mayim, if I have water, there's no din of hagasa at all. I remember as a kid in Camp Monk. So when we used to go into the kitchen to make tea for ourselves on Shabbos, they had a gigantic pot of water. The ladle was always in the pot. And we would take the water out of the pot and put it in a cup and from one cup, another cup, hin and a hair. How are we allowed to put the ladle into the cup? It's mamish agabe ha'ar. And according to the El Yerabah, it's going to be usher lohaitzi b'kaf. The teretz is, the avdin is, a quote from Yeshua of Kutna, that there's no din of hagus or anything if it's a pure liquid. Reb Avram Chaim Noeh, people know of him as being a mekel. He was like the Lubavitcher Posek, who was the Rebbe of Shchunat HaBukharim in Yerushalayim. Reb Avram Chaim Noeh says, we don't understand the whole din of Hagasa. Why should it be Aser and Tzmavushal Kol Tzarko? None of it makes sense. If none of it makes sense, then you can't say a svara that Hagasa doesn't apply to liquids. It doesn't make sense anyway. We don't understand the whole din anyway, so you can't say that it should be mutter on liquids. L'mais, I think we are, at least in Camp Monk, Dovakom was the camp rabbi, so probably it was based on real halacha. But pash, this is that there is no reason to be machmir against Reb Yeshua of Kutna, etc. The question is, if I'm making like Reb Yeshua ben Kutna, is that true only on water? What about broth? What about clear chicken soup? So that's already in the Mishnah Berurah and the Dirshu Ha'ara 116. He quotes Rav Nissen Karel. It says, "Hu hadin, you could be makel on the broth," but he kind of hesitates on this kula. The last Ha'ara I want to make about the din of Hotza b'magrefa and hagosa is if you read the Rambam there in Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam's lashon is that it's usher because nimtza mitzarchei habishul vehevi kimivashul b'shabbos. He uses that expression mitzarchei habishul. Those terms, mitzarchei, whatever, appear elsewhere in the Rambam. The Rambam speaks about hamoteach shutcha chutcho tfira b'shabbos, that if I pull my thread, like my button is loose, I pull it, the Rambam writes, zehu mitzarchei ha tfira. By sochet, squeezing a beged, the Rambam's lashon is perek tes halach yud aleph, it is mitzarchei hakibos kemal shahagosa mitzarchei habishol. Now, I'm not sure what to do about with all of this, but perhaps the idea that the Rambam is getting at is that an extension of that Gemara in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza says, echad, echad, echad. Everyone does a part, you're part of a malacha, it's usher. So anything that's part of a malacha, the Rambam writes, is usher. Right? Pulling a string and bringing that button closer to your jacket is part of the way people do taifer. That's usher. Squeezing out a beged is part of the way people do kibbutz. That's why it is going to be usher. That lecha ora, I think, is the pshat in the Rambam. Rav Soloveitchik, I think, understood it like this. The Rav used to say that anyone who takes part in any malacha is in violation of an iser, and that's why it says in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav that you're not allowed to pose for a picture on Shabbos. Right? Because, right? You're involved in some sort of malacha. Again, here in yeshiva now, right, we stand still when they take our temperature on Shabbos. I think that's considered a real tzorech, and whatever this iser is, to be involved in the malacha is so dachuk that certainly b'makom pekuach nefesh for the entire world, there is room to be make on this. Okay, gentlemen, so these are some of my comments. The guys in my regular share will start today at 1:45.
Abby, what if the thermometers don't work?
What if what?
The thermometers don't work.
We are all messed over. Yeah. And we that seems to be the best indicator that we're using. Again, eschata'ayani mazgarayom, at this point when I go in to the buildings, I don't really read every single thing on the checklist. Am I the only one?
No.
Okay, don't say that on tape, but yeah, right.